This is the message given by Pastor James Lim during the evening worship service at Faith Presbyterian Church, Long Beach, California, for January 16th, 2022. The title of the message is Caring for Widows, Part 2.
Well, now we come to the reading and preaching of God's Word. If you would open your Bibles with me now to 1 Timothy chapter 5, verses 11 to 16. I think maybe the week before Christmas, I preached on the first half of this section in Scripture, and I decided to split it into two. Paul is encouraging and giving guidelines to the church for how to care for widows. And so in the first section, from verses 3 to 10, he showed us how to care for older widows, widows who would be more vulnerable and impoverished and destitute, that options for their care would be far more dire than younger widows who are younger and stronger and have more options available to them. And so we come now to verse 11. Hear now the reading of God's holy word beginning in verse 11. But refuse to enroll younger widows, for when their passions draw them away from Christ, they desire to marry and so incur condemnation for having abandoned their former faith. Besides that, they learn to be idlers, going from house to house, and are not only idlers, but also gossips and busybodies, saying what they should not. So I would have younger widows marry, bear children, manage their households, and give the adversary no occasion for slander. For some have already strayed after Satan. If any believing woman has relatives who are widows, let her care for them. Let the church not be burdened, so that it may care for those who are really widows. The grass withers and the flower fades, but the word of our God stands forever. May he add his blessing to it this evening. We continue in Paul's epistles, pastoral epistles in particular, and here Paul is instructing Timothy and by implication, the New Testament church, including us, in how to live as the household of God. And so as I'd mentioned earlier, we looked at the how to care for the older widows, and now we come to Paul's exhortation and instruction to how to care for younger widows. And so he begins this section on younger widows by differentiating them from the older widows who may not need the church's help, the younger widows who may not need the church's help the way that the older widows would. And so he tells Timothy, but refuse to enroll younger widows, to enroll them in the roles of diaconal help, right? The roles of the widows who would receive the regular distribution of food and even money if needed. And so Paul tells Timothy not to enroll these younger widows with the older ones, that there's something different. There's something different about their situation that warrants a different approach, a different way. And so he gives us four circumstances that differentiate these younger widows from the older ones and why they ought not to be enrolled with the older ones. And so we're going to look at four of those reasons. We're going to look at the fact that they might be immature and tempted to marry outside of the faith, that they might be idle in their younger years as widows and not faithful in their service, And that unlike the older widows, they may still have family. But if the older widows have no family, the church ought to come and help them. And in doing so, it frees up the church to help those who are really, truly destitute, who are really, truly widows with no one else but the church, with no one else but the Lord to help them. So let's begin. First, Paul tells Timothy not to enroll them because they can be immature and easily tempted to remarry outside of the faith, verses 11 and 12. Paul tells us why we shouldn't enroll them. He says, "For when their passions draw them away from Christ, they desire to marry and so incur condemnation for having abandoned their former faith." See, I think this happens because back then in the ancient Near East, and even today, I think, it's probably hard to marry in the faith, let alone remarry in the faith, right? I mean, can you just imagine how hard it is to find a Christian husband, let alone find another one after you become a widow? There are so many non-Christian men that a widow could remarry, and so few Christian men that they can. In the ancient culture, in the ancient cultures of the Middle East, widows were almost completely dependent on the resources of their husbands for their livelihood. There wasn't life insurance or social security the way that we have today. If your husband was the breadwinner and you lived from hand to mouth, then when your husband died, you had to fend for yourself. So, of course, it's tempting to simply marry the first eligible man who comes your way, who can put a roof over your head, food on the table, and adopt your children and raise them. Right? So the danger was that younger widows could care more about their circumstances and being comfortable more than possibly sacrificing it in order then to wait until you meet a Christian man or maybe never marrying again. Secondly, they can also be idle busybodies rather than faithful servants of the Lord. Besides that, Paul says, they learn to be idlers going about from house to house, and not only idlers, but also gossips and busybodies, saying what they should not. Here's another reason that that this must have been a pitfall for young widows who were either immature in their faith or they were never really converted to the Lord. Right? They don't follow the commands of Paul to not be idle, but to be productive, to serve and to work faithfully for the Lord in their various vocations and circumstances, in their families, in their communities. And so they don't follow those commands, and so they become busybodies, right? It's kind of a weird word, busybodies, because they're not busy and they're not really bodies, you know. It's really interesting that word, and gossipers, right? Gossiping from house to house. And I don't know how this works, but I'm going to generalize a little bit here. But at the very least, it must have happened enough in Paul's day, and it may happen also today, that this description of idle, gossiping, busybody widows, young widows, for Paul to, it must have been a regular occurrence for Paul to exclude them from the roles of the diaconal ministry for widows. And I can only imagine, like men in how men talk in the locker room, that some women, when they're around other like-minded women, have a gab fest gossiping about who's doing what, how, and why. Girl, did you know that so-and-so is doing this and that? What? No. Yes. Uh-huh. You know, I'm just imagining here, but we do that too. Guys do that too. I just want to make that clear, right? We do that too. But men are not as vulnerable socially and economically and culturally the way that widows are. And so Paul is making sure that the diaconal help is going to faithful, godly, mature, or mature enough Christian women who need help. And so the irony then of being a busybody is that you're not productively busy with your body, but you're busy up in everybody else's business but your own. At the very least, Paul warns that it's common enough then to watch out for among the younger widows. Paul says in other letters for these younger widows to remarry only in the Lord. In 1 Corinthians 7:39, he says, a widow is free to remarry to whom she wishes, but only in the Lord. And the implication is there, only a fellow Christian. Only in a fellow Christian. And friends, brothers and sisters, this doesn't just apply to widows. This applies to single people, young people. So young people and those of you who are single, the Lord calls us to marry only in the Lord. Because how can you marry somebody when their core value and core priority and core love, their heart, is not for the Lord in the same way that you are? And so I think I've preached on this before, but somebody is going to have to compromise what they believe if you're going to have a mixed marriage of a believer and unbeliever. And what is most commonly the case is the compromise of the Christian in their faith to the Lord. So Paul in 1 Corinthians, Paul goes on to say to them here in 1 Timothy, he calls those younger women then to bear children, manage their households, and give the adversary no occasion for slander, for some have already strayed after Satan. The point I want to make is that younger widows have a lot more opportunities than older widows who are past childbearing age and would find it hard to remarry. That in the ancient Near East and in traditional agricultural societies, you know, if you could bear children, then it's kind of like a 401k that's going to pay dividends, you know, 18, 20 years down. I remember growing up, my father and mother, who come from an agricultural background, you know, I wonder if my mom will listen to this someday, but they did not put a penny into their retirement. And they would always tell us, you are our retirement. And that's what Paul is saying here with regards to bearing children, right? It's not a, for lack of a better word, a chauvinistic, patriarchal approach to women and widowhood. It was the reality of the day that children were a blessing to a family, let alone a widow. So younger widows would have been less dependent on the church to free up help from the church for older widows. And that's an important principle in the New Testament church, that you can't help everybody, right? But you have to help those who are prioritized for the most help, who are most needy. And the ones who need the least amount of help, you do the best you can to encourage them to do what they can do in order to put food on the table. or go to other, and we're going to see in a moment, go to other sources like their own family. And this leads us then to the third reason Paul gives, which is to help faithful widows who have no one else but the church to help. Paul reminds Timothy of the context surrounding these guidelines for younger widows. Not only are younger widows tempted to marry outside of the faith, but some have already strayed, verse 15. And what's interesting here, I'm going to take a little sidetrack here, just a little side note, that it's interesting here that Paul specifically says that it's a straying, not just of sin or expedience or worldly comfort over following Jesus, but he makes it a point to say that these younger widows are straying after Satan. I've read this all the time and I just thought, oh yeah, I know, but it really hit me like a ton of bricks here. And this is a good way of showing us that when we all stray from the Lord, what we are really doing is straying after Satan. We don't just stray away from Jesus, we stray toward Satan. Right? That's the choice we all face. It's not like we stray with no rhyme or reason. It's not like we stray in some neutral indifference from Jesus to Satan. When we consciously stray away from Jesus, we're straying to Satan. Right? If you are going north and you turn around and you go south, you're leaving one to go to the other. Right? And this is the way of the Christian life, right? We cannot serve two masters. We will either hate the one or love the other, or we'll love the one or hate the other. But we cannot serve God and money. You will hate the one and love the other, or you will love the one and hate the other. And so you cannot stray from Jesus without straying to Satan. And that's what these widows who've chosen the path of worldly comfort, sin, and earthly security. Jesus puts it so well. He says, what does it profit a man to gain the whole world yet lose their soul? And so that's why Paul says refuse to enroll particular younger widows, because this is a real possibility and a danger. And it will be disastrous for them, for the deacons, and for the church. Fourthly, Paul makes it a point then to also show that these guidelines for younger widows who have family to help them will free up the church to help the older widows. Now, it doesn't mean that he has to be callous and not care about younger widows, but he has to be circumspect. But this doesn't preclude the helping of younger widows. He calls Christian women to help those widows so the church is free to help those who have no one else, absolutely no one else, to care for them in their elderly widow years. This reminds us again that the church is the family of God who ought to care for the most vulnerable and impoverished among them. The more help young widows can get from their own family, and the more help we can give to the widows in our own families, the better the church is free to care for those who have nobody. And so that's why the normal course of inquiry when somebody needs help, not just the widows, but anyone, is we ask them, do you have family who can help you? They're more equipped. They know you better to help you. But if you have no one, of course we'll help you. So that's what Paul is saying here. And this, friends, brothers, and sisters, is a wonderful picture of the gospel proclaimed not just in word, but also in deed. That as we care for the least of these who belong to Christ, these true widows with no one else to turn to but the family of God, we do also unto him, right? That's what Jesus says in Matthew 25:40, that in the helping of widows, we express the love of Christ who died to care for us in our need. And so we do that for others, for the widows. So let me close with how all of this demonstrates what we really believe about the gospel. That in the Old Testament, God was the defender of widows because God calls himself Israel's true husband. So when the earthly husbands died, God promised to care for those widows. He describes himself as the God of the widow and the fatherless. And this is what then Jesus came to do in the gospel. He came to care for the widows by becoming their true husband and rescuing them from the poverty of sin and death and Satan. And it's no coincidence that that one of the very last things that Jesus did when he died on the cross was to give his very own mother, Mary, a widow, into the care of his beloved disciple. You remember that in the Gospel of John? Jesus, as he was dying, says to his widow mother, "Woman, behold your son." And to his beloved disciple, "Behold your mother." John 19:26-27. Jesus died and rose again to rescue widows and make us all into a new family bound by his saving blood in union with him. That's what we illustrate to the whole world when we honor and care for the widows in the church of Jesus Christ. Let's pray together. Our Father, we thank you for this wonderful truth. We thank you for the great privilege to care for the widows among us, true widows, and to help as we can in the right way the younger widows among us. Father, may we see how all of this reflects the love of God in Christ in the gospel, and may it be a blessing to us that we might, that we would be entrusted with the widows of the world and of our church family. Bless us then. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.